Admit it. Our public debate has been reduced to reading each other's bumper stickers. Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. I made up most of them, and most of those when I was mad as hell about something. So if you hate war, empire, central banking, cops, Republicans, Democrats, gun grabbers, and status of all stripes, go to LibertyStickers.com, and there's a good chance you'll find just what you need for the back of your truck. Own a bookstore? Sell guns at the show? Get the wholesaler's deal. Buy any 100 stickers and they drop down in price to a dollar a piece. You can spread the contempt and make a little money too. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. My website is scotthorton.org. You can find my full show archives there, although there's a glitch in them. But anyway. And also you can find my interviews, more than 2,800 of them now, going back to 2003 there at scotthorton.org. And you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /Scott Horton Show. All right, first guest today is our friend Ian Freeman, host of Free Talk Live, co-host of Free Talk Live, and keeper of the Liberty Radio Network, which I'm still on, right, Ian? Hey, welcome back to the show.
Yes, you are, and it's good to be back.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here, and man, I hate this story, dude. This is terrible. There's, well, you tell the story. Who's Rich Paul?
Rich Paul is a friend of mine, and he is facing 81 years in prison for
how
the
many years?
81. The for the dastardly crime of selling a plant that grows naturally in the earth, as well as selling something that they claim he was purporting as LSD, but despite not actually presenting any evidence that he was claiming that it was LSD, the jury convicted him of that too. So it's a nasty situation that Paul could have taken a plea deal on and gotten 0 days in jail. He didn't want a felony charge on his record because he's an open carrier. He really loves the, you know, the freedom to carry a firearm, and he wanted to really go all this thing and possibly get a jury nullification of this, because he's, you know, and I agree with him, he thinks the war on drugs needs to end, and was hoping this jury would be the first jury to kick this back in the state's face. Unfortunately, juries tend to be very obedient to the state, and they found him guilty. So we're still awaiting sentencing in this matter, which should be coming up on the 7th of June.
Okay, so he has not been sentenced to 81 years. He just faces up to 71 years. Or 81
yeah,
years.
Yeah, he's facing a max of 81 years. It'll probably be less than
that. Okay, so lots to go over here. First of all, how was it that he came to be entrapped by this undercover cop into selling him some weed? He couldn't tell that it was an undercover cop? Or it was one of his friends betrayed him under threat of a worse sentence, or what?
Yeah, it was an informant. This is kind of an interesting detail to this story. Basically, the state went after Rich Paul. They used a heroin dealer to go after a weed dealer. I mean, that's basically what happened here.
A guy that was facing heroin dealing charges went
correct.
And entrapped your buddy on a pot dealing charge.
Correct. Yeah, they used him. They got 5 charges. 4 of them was for pot. 1 of them was for purported LSD. And so they basically set this heroin dealer free to get back, you know, to go back into the streets. And, you know, I think drug prohibition needs to end, so I think, you know, heroin should be legalized too, but it just shows you the priorities of the police in this case, that
right.
they were willing to turn loose a heroin dealer, you know, a low-life scumbag to let out or to go after Rich Paul. And the reason why, the reasons why they did that, the FBI got involved in this case, and when they arrested Rich, the FBI agent told Rich that he could get off the charges if he would wear a wire into the Keene Activist Center and basically do the bidding of the FBI, in which the bidding of the FBI in this case would have been to set up other Free State Project participants and activists and get them arrested too. Rich Paul refused that deal, and he came, when he was able to get away from them and, you know, kind of get out on bail or whatever, he came back and informed us of what had happened.
How did you, do you know how the rat picked out Rich to target? Was he directed toward the Free State Movement in the first place? The heroin dealer?
The rat was one of Rich's clients. So Rich was selling, Rich, you know, admittedly was a weed dealer. I mean, he came right out during the trial and admitted that. So he was trying to get this nullified. So this guy, was, Richie DuPont Jr. He was one of the customers of Rich, Paul, and at some point he got himself busted for selling heroin. And, so, you know, he was buying like quarter pounds of weed, things like that, from Rich. So basically, you know, they popped him and he rolled. And turned over Rich.
And then they got, once they got their hands on Rich, they said, hey, man, we could try to use this to disrupt this political movement we don't like.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that that was their intention from the get-go. They were looking to take, they're looking to, you know, to make the Free State Project look bad. They're looking to take down activists in the Free State Project, and that's because, as has been pointed out previously by other people who are not friends of the Free State Project, people like State Representative Cynthia Chase, people like the NH Labor movement, these people have said within the last 6 months things that basically, I mean, it's just a paraphrase, that the Free State Project or that Free Staters are the single greatest threat to the state. That's what one state representative said. And she's saying that, and she's accurate. And it's a wonderful compliment, and I appreciate that. And they're saying that even at about 5% of the movers, and as you may know, Scott, the Free State Project's goal is to move 20,000 liberty-oriented people who are willing to be active for freedom, and that can mean a lot of things. It can mean doing running for political office. It can mean civil disobedience. It can mean creating media like you do and I do. It can mean outreach. It can mean all kinds of things. So bringing 20,000 activists together to the same place. We've only got about 1,100 that are here now, and there are over 14,000 that are going to come. We're still trying to get to that 20,000 number, so we're still in the early moving stage here. I mean, this isn't the project hasn't really even hit in any way of significance. We're at 5% of the movers, and they're already calling us the single greatest threat to the state. So, as you might imagine, the state people are pretty threatened by the fact the Free State Project exists. And they want to do whatever they can to marginalize it and make it look bad. But ultimately, we've got the best activists, period. And more activists are coming here. And if you love liberty, there really is nowhere else you really should be besides New Hampshire.
All right. Now, so he was offered a plea deal where he could have avoided most of the jail time anyway. He would have just done a little bit of time, and he decided, no, I want to go ahead and take a stand, give the jury the opportunity to strike down this law, basically. That's pretty brave or nutty.
He's a brave guy. I mean, he actually was offered 0 days in jail. It was going to be 0 days in jail with a felony conviction, so he probably would have ended up with some probation or something like that. But yeah, he turned that down in the hopes of taking this in front of a jury and finding some jurors with some humanity left inside them.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, on the way out of the trial after convicting him, I confronted the jurors and asked them why they didn't want to make history today, and one of them said, we didn't want to break the law, which showed that they either did not understand the jury nullification instructions or they were too afraid to actually implement them. So that was a real disappointment. But juries have continued to be a real disappointment in general when it comes to jury trials and things like that. They're just so obedient to the state. It's disgusting. But people, you know, continue to throw that out there and to try it. And here in New Hampshire, we actually, thanks to the Free State Project participants who've actually been elected, I know that's a shock, right? Libertarians getting elected. But thanks to the Free State Project people who've gotten elected, we actually have the jury nullification law here in New Hampshire, which doesn't exist in any of the other 49 states that I know of, that actually enshrines the defendant's right to discuss jury nullification with the jury. Now, in this case, the judge refused to read the jury nullification instructions during the jury instructions, and that's one of the points that Rich Paul's been making.
Slow down. Very important point, but step back one. Explain for people about what jury nullification means, when you say that, I think anarchy, and not the fun kind, but like arson fires and chaos and minorities rising up. That sounds very dangerous.
Thanks for asking. You're right. I did presume that people knew what I was talking about. So jury nullification is where a juror, this could be you if you're on a jury, have the right to vote your conscience. So So you vote not guilty if you think the law itself is bad. Doesn't matter how much evidence there is that the person, you know, broke the law. Like, so in this case, Rich Paul was admitting to having sold cannabis, you know. He was caught red-handed doing that. But if I were on that jury, I would have found him not guilty because the law is wrong. And that's the point of jury nullification and the point of reaching out to jurors about this. And you can do this in a lot of places. You can inform jurors about jury nullification, but during but only outside of a trial. You know, you can't, if you're a defendant in most states, mention jury nullification. You cannot talk about the idea of jury nullification during a trial. If you bring up jury nullification in a lot of courtrooms around the country, you may end up being held in contempt. So the system is very afraid of jury nullification because it puts power back in the hands of the juror, and they don't want that. So that's why New Hampshire was one of the best places to go. There's actually 101 reasons to move to New Hampshire at freestateproject.org, but we actually have jury nullification as, it's written into the law here. That people in court are able to use that as defense. But it's still brand new. The law was passed. It went into effect last year. So unfortunately, not all the judges are really on board with this. And this particular judge did not read appropriate jury nullification instructions and instead gave the jury this kind of the standard, I'm the judge and what I say goes kind of instructions. And they followed his instructions.
So in other words, he told them what a judge would have told them in any of the other states, which is, if you find, jury, that the facts are what the prosecution says they are, I'm telling you that amounts to a violation of the law. And so if you agree with the facts of the case, then you must convict. Whereas you're telling me, in any state of the union, a juror could simply refuse to go along with that. He better not call it nullification. But any juror could really refuse to go along with that. In any state in the union, but in New Hampshire, the judge is bound by the law to instruct the jury, unless you don't think the law ought to apply in this case, in which case, go ahead and acquit him. Because that's new law in New Hampshire, again, like back in the 1790s.
You are correct. In fact, earlier this year, there was a case, I think his name was Doug, I don't remember his last name, but anyway, there was a case about a Rastafarian guy who was growing weed in New Hampshire, and they busted him for it, and he went to trial, and his whole position was jury nullification as well. Hey, you know, this is my religion. I have a right to do this. Find me not guilty. And in that case, he was found not guilty by the full jury. And the interesting detail to that is that not only were they able to read, not only did the judge read excellent jury instructions in that particular case, and those same instructions were submitted in Rich Paul's case, but the judge ignored them. But in the first case with the weed growing guy, that there was actually a Free State Project participant who happened to end up on the jury in that case, and she really did a great job of swaying these other jurors to nullify the verdict. So it really shows how one person in a key position can really change things.
That's true. And, we hear there's so many stories where you hear some innocent person persecuted and the jury ends up going along on some compromise charge, right? Like the most famous case would be the Branch Davidians, where it was 10-2 to acquit them all of murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And then two people on the jury were such cop lovers, they just could not get their head around it. No way. You gotta compromise. You gotta convict them of something. And so then they convicted them of using a firearm in the commission of the felony that they just acquitted them for, and the judge ended up sentencing them as though they'd been convicted of the felony anyway. But anyway, the point being that one or two jurors can really make a difference in favor of the prosecution when everybody else knows better. They can browbeat them into convicting somebody of something. And the same is also true in the opposite, that a juror can not only just refuse by themselves, but can explain to the other jurors that, no, you don't have to go along with this bully, you know?
Yeah, absolutely true. And an activist in New Hampshire for years has been doing jury nullification outreach. We've been standing out in front of the courthouses, for instance, or at least here in Cheshire County. I can't speak for the rest of New Hampshire, but here in Cheshire County where I live, we've been out there every single jury selection, basically, and reaching out to jurors and informing them of this. But, there's nothing quite like having a true liberty lover end up on a jury. And that's what happened in this case, and it made a huge difference. And, you know, yet another example of the power of concentrating activists in one geographic area. I mean, the more activists you have in one geographic area, the more likely one of them is going to get picked for jury duty. More likely people are going to, you know, be getting elected. And what I like to point out is that I was involved with the Libertarian Party for a number of years when I used to live down in Florida. And the Libertarian Party would only be able to dream about the amount of political success that the Free State Project has had in the last 5 years. Libertarian Party hasn't been able to elect hardly anyone in 40 years, but the Free State Project has successfully elected liberty-minded people as both Republicans and Democrats to the state legislature. That just doesn't happen anywhere else, and it doesn't happen anywhere else because there just aren't enough of us anywhere else. And so that's why this concept's so important. And you get people like Rich Paul who have, you know, balls of steel to stand up against 81 years in prison and, you know, take a charge to all the way to the mat based on principle. I mean, you just don't find people like that anywhere else. So I'm so proud to be involved with these wonderful folks, and hopefully Rich's appeal will be successful. We're actually involved in a fundraiser right now, trying to raise several thousand dollars to, Rich, he can't afford it, bring an appeals lawyer on board and appeal this and, you know, appeal, from what I understand, based on the fact the judge didn't read the appropriate jury instructions as well as a few other things. And we're grateful that there's a matching contribution. So anybody that gives to this, they will have their contribution matched up to several thousand dollars. So
wow.
If you want to help with that, you can go to richpaul.freetalklive.com. Now, that'll just forward you to a Facebook event with the details. But that's richpaul.freetalklive.com. And anything anyone can do to help out sure would be appreciated. I know Rich would really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, can you imagine? By the way, how much weed did he sell? And I guess it's the LSD charge. You say is bogus. I'd like you to elaborate on that if you could.
Sure.
How badly they didn't prove that in court, the LSD thing. But how much weed was it? How are they getting away with anything like a 81-year sentence or up to 81-year sentence here, Ian?
Well, unfortunately, New Hampshire has not yet had any significant marijuana decriminalization. Obviously, that's something that we'd like to change as part of the Free State Project. And, you know, we're working on it, but it hasn't happened yet. And so these are felony sales charges. He sold a couple quarter pounds and a couple ounces of weed. And the LSD charge is a little more serious than the weed charge. But even if it was just weed charges, he'd still be looking at dozens of years in prison. The LSD was a purported LSD charge, meaning that the product that was sold, that the state is claiming was represented to be LSD, but turned out when it was tested, it was 2CI, which at the time, and I don't believe it still is, but at the time it was a legal research chemical. I believe it's been outlawed since then, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, it was legal at the time of the arrest. When they tested it, they discovered it was 2CI, and so they couldn't charge him with selling LSD. So instead, they charged him as selling purported LSD, in the same way that if I sold you a bag of oregano and called it weed, I'd still be guilty of selling purported weed, because even though it wasn't the illegal product. So the evidence that was presented, Rich Paul sold the product as acid, but never once referred to it as LSD. And Rich's position was basically that, well, acid could be street slang for a variety of hallucinogenic substances, including 2CI, but unfortunately the jury decided that that meant it was LSD and convicted him of that one.
Hmm. Well, so it wasn't just the informant's testimony. He conceded that he had sold something and called it acid.
I mean, he didn't get up on the stand and testify. I think he probably should have, but he did not. There was just video footage of him, you know, cutting these deals. I mean, they mic'd this kid up and they put a camera on him and they had all that stuff.
Unreal. Over a war on pot. I mean, it'd be hilarious if it wasn't your friend facing the rest of his life in a cage, you know? Insane. All right, now... Well, hell, until I think of another good question, tell us again about how people can donate to the effort to get this guy a good appeals lawyer.
We've got to get the money together ASAP because sentencing is coming up on the 7th. I don't have my computer in front of me right now, so I can't tell you what it's up to, but I know we were over, like around $1,500 last night. So we need to definitely crank that out, and we've been getting some media coverage, which has been great. Vice.com has been covering the story. It's richpaul.freetalklive.com. Now, that does forward to a Facebook page, but from what I understand, it is a public Facebook page. So even if you don't have a Facebook account, that's okay. You can still go and look at the information there, and there's links to how to contribute. There's Bitcoin. We'll take Bitcoin. There's also, I believe, standard kind of PayPal/credit card-y option as well. So once again, that's richpaul.freetalklive.com. We want to help him appeal this thing. And, you know, that could take, who knows, you know, half a year or a year to actually get into court if it's, you know, accepted by the Supreme Court, which it should be because it's a criminal case. But, you know, one of the other things you can do if you can't afford to, you know, to send some money is to talk about the case. You know, put one of the articles from Vice.com up there on your Facebook page and share that out with folks, or share the richpaul.freetalklive.com link with other folks, so you know maybe some of your friends could help out. And then alternatively, think about coming to New Hampshire. We've got the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we got to get you up here one of these days, Scott. The Porcfest is coming up here in just a few weeks. It's June 17th through the 23rd. It's going to be a week long. Basically, it's a party in the woods with 1,000 liberty loving people. There's nothing quite like it in the liberty movement, and it's really become quite the premier event, not just for the Free State Project, but just for libertarian types who like to enjoy each other's company and socialize and network and have a lot of fun. That's where I'll be, and my show will be broadcasting live, and I'm sure we could get you on if you were to come out.
Man, I sure would like to. Right now, I'm going to see, basically, priority one is to see if I can pay the rent at the house I'm living in. But then, after that, you know, world travel is next up on the list. So.
Yeah, I understand. It is a blast, though, to be around 1,000 liberty-loving people on a campground and, you know, having a great time with folks. There's nothing quite like it, and it really gives people a taste for what it's like to live in New Hampshire, where you can literally be around hundreds of other like-minded, liberty-oriented people.
Yeah, that's clever of you to do it in the summertime, too.
Yeah, well, actually, it still gets kind of cool at night, because we are up in the White Mountains. We're in the northern part of New Hampshire, and it's really just an incredible view, but it's also an incredible group of people that's doing things that just aren't happening anywhere else in the liberty movement. I know you live in Austin, and that's a pretty good liberty hotspot, but you're still in Texas, and there's 26 million people there. Here in New Hampshire, we've got 1.5 million people, and that's one of the reasons why New Hampshire was chosen, because of the small population, the relatively small geographic area. It's a lot easier to have an impact as a liberty-loving activist in a place where, number one, you have more activists, and number two, the population is fairly small, and then three, you've got other things that are, you know, just automatic bonuses, like no state income tax, no state sales tax. There's just so many different reasons. The state legislature only gets paid $100 a year, you know, not in total, but each individual legislature only makes $100 per year, and then a small mileage fee to get back and forth from the state house. And that really attracts a different kind of person to that role. You know, they don't have any secretaries. They don't have an office. They fill a locker, and that's it. So it's a really different situation here. New Hampshire's got Republicans who vote for gay marriage. New Hampshire has Democrats who support gun rights. So, you know, none of the standard politics really totally applies as people might expect here. Interesting place.
You know, once upon a time I pledged that once it got to the magic number, I guess 5,000, that I would move out there. So it remains a possibility.
You I didn't realize you were a Free State Project participant.
Yeah, geez. Well, you know, it's been 9 years or something was when I signed up for it.
The magic number is approaching, and it's not 5,000, it's 20,000. So the original goal was to move 20,000 people here, and that we're at over 14,000 today. So probably within the next couple of years, we'll cross that 20,000 threshold.
And now you're at 14,000 have signed up, or 14,000 have already moved there?
No, 14,000 have signed up. The people who have moved amount to several hundred. We're over 1,100 people that are already here in New Hampshire. So we've only got about 5% of the goal of total movers, but we're over 70% of the way there as far as people signing up for it. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably breach that 20,000 goal within the next couple of years, and then there's a five-year window in which those 20,000 have to make the move. So all of the things that have happened so far that have been so newsworthy up here, Scott, and recently we got international headlines with the Robin Hooding situation here in Keene. I don't know if you heard about that one. But, you know, we've been generating headlines in a way that the Libertarian Party can only dream of. I mean, when's the last time the Libertarian Party was mentioned in the news anywhere, let alone getting international headlines for doing anything? We do that here, and we don't really have much to say about the Libertarian Party here. People are having success in the Republicans and Democrats. There are some Libertarian, diehard libertarian types. I ran as a libertarian recently for election. But did you hear about the Robin Hooding thing? I'm just curious.
No, but I'd be happy to hear about it if you could stay after the break. But we're coming up against it.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay, great. Well, it's Ian Freeman, the host of Free Talk Live and the keeper of the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM. And we're talking about the state of New Hampshire's persecution of his friend Rich Paul and their illegal denial of him, his right to have the jury instructed about the true nature of their power before they decided his fate. And anyway, so we're going to talk about the Robin Hood thing. Whatever that is, sounds fun. Right on the other side of this here. It's the Scott Horton Show.
Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against a depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. Over at AIPAC, the leaders of the Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., they're constantly proclaiming unrivaled influence on Capitol Hill, and they should be proud. The NRA and AARP's efforts make them look like puppy dogs in comparison to the campaigns of intimidation regularly run by the neoconservatives and Israel firsters against their political enemies. But the Israel lobby does not remain unopposed. At the Council for the National Interest, they put America first, insisting on an end to the empire's unjustified support for Israel's aggression against its neighbors and those whose land it occupies, and pushing back against the lobby's determined campaign in favor of U.S. attacks against Israel's enemies. CNI also does groundbreaking work on the trouble with evangelical Christian Zionism and neocon-engineered Islamophobia and drumming up support for this costly and counterproductive policy. Please help support the efforts of the Council for the National Interest to create a peaceful, pro-American foreign policy. Just go to councilforthenationalinterest.org and click donate under About Us at the top of the page. And thanks.
Hey y'all, Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the journal of the Future Freedom Foundation. Every month, Plumline Individualist editor Sheldon Richmond brings you important news and opinions on policy by heroic FFF President Jacob Hornberger, hard-hitting journalist columnist James Bovard, and others from the best of the libertarian movement. The Future of Freedom tackles the most important issues facing our country, from the bankrupt and insane welfare and regulatory states, to foreign wars and empire, the dismal state of our economy, and ongoing assaults on civil liberties. This society needs peace and freedom for prosperity to prevail. Subscribe to the Future of Freedom in print for just $25 a year, or online for $15 a year, at fff.org/subscribe. And hurry up! Because this summer they'll be running my articles about the wars in Libya, Syria, and Somalia in the Future of Freedom too. That's fff.org/subscribe for the Future of Freedom. And tell them Scott sent you.
Hey y'all, Scott here. First of all, thanks to the show's sponsors and donors who make it possible for me to do this. Secondly, I need more sponsors and more donors if the show is to continue. ScottHorton.org/donate has all the links to use PayPal, Give.org, Google Wallet, WePay.com, and even Bitcoins to make a donation in any amount. You can also sign up for monthly donations of small and medium-sized amounts through PayPal and Give.org. Again, that's ScottHorton.org/donate for all the links. To advertise on the site or the show, email me, scott@scotthorton.org. And thanks. Oh, man, I'm late. Sure hope I can make my flight.
Stand there.
Me? I am standing here.
Come here.
Okay.
Hands up. Turn around.
Whoa, easy.
Into the scanner. Ooh, what's this in your pants?
Hey, slow down. It's just my...
Hold it right there. Your wallet has tripped the metal detector. What's this? The Bill of Rights?
That's right. It's just a harmless stainless steel business card-sized copy of the Bill of Rights from SecurityEdition.com. They're for exposing the TSA as a bunch of liberty-destroying goons who've never protected anyone from anything. Sir, now give me back my wallet and get out of my way. Got a plane to catch.
Have a nice day.
Play a leading role in the security theater with the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's the size of a business card, so it fits right in your wallet, and it's guaranteed to trip the metal detectors wherever the police state goes. That's SecurityEdition.com. And don't forget their great Fourth Amendment socks.
Hey guys, I got his laptop.